Good morning. Turn with me to Matthew 16. We'll read some verses that I know you're very familiar with. Matthew 16, verses 13 to 19. But when Jesus was come into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, he demanded of his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some, John the Baptist, and others, Elias, and others again, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He says to them, "But ye, who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answering said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answering said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father who is in the heavens. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and Hades' gates shall not prevail against it. And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest bind upon the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever thou mayest loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens." And turn with me to the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, near the end of the Bible, and we'll look at verses 1 through 7. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea exist no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them their God. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall not exist any more, nor grief, nor cry, nor distress shall exist any more. For the former things have passed away.' And he that sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he says to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be to him God." Let's pray. Father, once again, as we come to your word, we acknowledge our utter dependence on the Holy Spirit. We say to you, Lord Jesus, just as Peter said, "You alone have the words of eternal life." You alone have those life-changing words. We come to you simply by the Holy Spirit and ask you to speak to our hearts today. We pray for a messenger and hearer alike, that we would together be under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to hear what the Lord says to his people in this hour. For we come to you, praising you, trusting you, believing that you alone are the one we want to see this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I think some of you were here several weeks ago when we began with this burden on two essential revelations. I don't know, sometimes people's memories are rather short. But we began just a few weeks ago sharing this burden on two essential revelations. Now, I know there are many things we need to see. But brothers and sisters, when it comes to the Lord, I think his people, there are two things we must see. And if we see those things clearly, if the Lord can open our eyes, if he can shine his broad light into our conscience, and if he can unveil these things, then that will do a lot for our walk as believers and together as the church. I think you remember, some of you, that first essential revelation is just in two words. It's I am. Brothers and sisters, above everything else, what we need as the people of God is to see who he is. That's the beginning point. If we don't see who he is, we have nothing. As a matter of fact, our brother read from Hebrews. If you read Hebrews, we who come to God must believe he is. And he's the rewarder of those that seek him diligently. This is the first and most essential revelation for the people of God. I am. And the second one, like it, I believe also, is contained in two little words. It's those two simple words that may not have had much meaning to you before, but it's those words, I will. Those two words. We not only need to see who God is, that's the essential revelation. We need to see what he does. I am and I will. And if you remember, we took sort of an Old Testament journey, pretty brief journey. Some of you might not have been brief enough, but we took an Old Testament journey and we looked at Exodus 3 when God first appeared to Moses when his children were in bondage, and the one singular revelation that preceded their deliverance, the one word that God had for Moses was, I am that I am. I think you all know that story. Probably one of your favorite Bible studies, stories. But when the Lord appeared to Moses, when his people were in absolute bondage, no way of getting free, he had one revelation for his people. And that revelation is, tell them, I am that I am. We need to see God. Above everything else, we need to see who he is. That's our starting point. That's the beginning. That will bring real deliverance to us as his people. But like that, he went on to say in Exodus 3, verse 17, I will bring you out of affliction. We need to see what he does. I will bring you out of this affliction. He said, I will stretch out my hand and even smite Egypt. He went on to say, I will do this in the midst myself. And he even said, I will show favor to this people before the Egyptians. Now, I don't think those words are meaningless. I believe this was the two things God said to Moses, take to the people. These are the two revelations that will deliver us. Who I am, if you see it, it's liberation. But what I'm able to do, that's equally liberation. This is what freed the people of God to be a testimony before all the peoples in the world. These two singular revelations. And then, you know, this is my review. I hope you appreciate, I'm restraining myself from too long of an introduction. But then we looked at Jeremiah 31, not only the beginning of the people of God as a testimony, we went to the end of the Old Testament and we looked at that dark period in the life of the children of Israel. And all of us know something of that history. I said it before, I said it last time, I believe Jeremiah had the toughest job in the world. No wonder he was called the weeping prophet. He had to bring to the people of God the judgment, the very testimony of God. He had to say, you're going into captivity, into judgment. The way I look at it, I hope you don't think it's too harsh. It looks like to me the testimony had completely failed. But did God give up? To me, that's the best news. He didn't give up. In Jeremiah 31, he says seven times, I will. I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. He goes on to say, this covenant will I make. It's His doing, brothers and sisters. This is the essential revelation. He went on to say, I will put my law into their minds, into their inward parts. I will write it upon their hearts. 7 times. Perfect number. 7 times. The Lord says, or at least the Lord says to me, you may have failed. I will not. That's good news. This is God's encouragement to His people. Says in the New Testament, though we're unfaithful, He remains faithful. And what does it say? For He cannot deny Himself. He is the I Am. These are the two revelations. He went on to say, I will be their God and they shall be my people. I will pardon their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. This is the good news. This is God's encouragement to His people in the beginning and in the end. These are the two essential revelations. So I hope, my wife told me last week after I spoke, she didn't get it. So I hope that's a better clarification, at least of where the burden came from. There are two things. Get this. If you don't get anything, if you don't remember anything else, if you draw a complete blank, remember that the two essential revelations we need are to see who God is. That will liberate us. It'll lift us into that heavenly perspective our brother was talking about. And we need to see what He does. I will and I am. So that's where the burden. Well, today, let's press on. That is the most I can restrain myself from going too long with an introduction. We need to look today at a second way. Take a New Testament perspective. And this, I know this is very broad. Maybe it's too broad for most of you. But I want us to again look at the beginning and the end of the New Testament in the same way to see if God's revelation is different for us in the New Testament period. What is God's word for us in the New Testament? And so we turn to Matthew 16, which we have read. And the Lord Jesus, when He had His people, when He had His disciples together at that moment at Caesarea Philippi, He actually asked two questions. Well, actually, it's one question to two different people. He said to them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? First question. The second question was more direct. It was to the disciples. He said, who do you say that I am? That's the second question. They're actually the same question. They're just the two different people. But brothers and sisters, the single most important question in this lifetime is who is the Lord Jesus? That's the single most important question for men. Or for those that believe, if we can't answer this question, if we don't have revelation and understanding as to this question, we have absolutely nothing. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Does it sound familiar? God has one issue. Peter, disciples. Who do you say I am? This is the essential revelation for His church. At that moment when He had His disciples apart, He posed to them this one question. This is the question we need to answer. Now, I learned as a parent. I didn't learn much as a parent, by the way. I'm still learning as a parent. One thing I learned as a parent is that kids have thousands of questions. Now, you may have learned the same thing. They don't get a question out and they ask another question. They don't get the second question out and they've got a third question before you get the answer. Some of you have experienced this phenomenon, I know. We have many questions. But to the Lord Jesus, there was one question. Who do men say that I am? This is the essential revelation that the church needs. This is the one question we as the people of God need to answer. Above everything else, we need to see this thing. Now, it's interesting what men said. Men actually gave the Lord high praise. Men are often giving the Lord high praise, but not high enough. They said, some say you're John the Baptist, or some say you're Elias, or some say you're Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. It's pretty high praise. Most of you in that room would be honored, and this room would be honored if such praise were afforded to you. But Matthew Henry said an insightful thing. He said it was not high enough. Discovery that comes from the natural understanding as to the Lord Jesus is never high enough. Discovery that comes from education, simply learning, is never high enough. It may be good. It may hold in high regard, but it doesn't arise to what God has to say about His Son. So He turns to His disciples and He said, okay, second question, same question. Who do you say I am? And everyone knows this section. We've spoken about it so many times. And then Peter blurted out, He probably couldn't contain himself as Peter was wont to do. And he said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it's interesting. If you look at this carefully, the Lord Jesus said, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's the way He put it. But Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a difference here. Revelation unveils to us what He really is. That's the difference. If we see with the natural eyes, we only see certain things about Jesus. It may be high praise, but you and I are going to be called upon to answer this one single question. It is the essential question. Who is the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus immediately responded. He said, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in the heavens. That's interesting. The Lord Jesus made it very clear. He said, Peter, this thing didn't come to you in the natural way. This thing didn't come to you through education. This thing didn't come to you through learning. This thing came to you through revelation that was a gift from heaven. That's the secret. What we need is the Father to reveal the Son. And what we need is the Son to reveal the Father. Jesus said, All authority has been given to me. No one knows the Son but the Father. And no one knows the Father but the Son. And to He whom He is pleased to reveal Him to. What we need, dear friends, above every single issue, is a living revelation of who the Lord Jesus is. You might look at the church and say the church has many needs. And we would all agree. We're a needy people. But if you look at the essential need, she needs to see more of her blessed Lord. She needs to have unveiled to her more of what He's really like in nature and character. If we see the I Am, then we'll be transformed. I don't know if that's clear, but that's our need. I love Psalm 36:9. I often have made it my single prayer to God. It says in Psalm 36, verse 9, For with Thee is the fountain of life, and in Thy light shall I see light. You understand that? Let me explain it with an illustration. One thing I dislike greatly about growing older is the loss of my eyesight. I don't know about you, if it's giving you any problem, but I used to have keen eyesight, believe it or not. But now with the bifocals and the spectacles, I find that my eyesight is a terrible cross. I know the other day I bought a new computer printer. I wasted enough time, enough ink, and enough energy on that old printer. And finally I had to break down since it wouldn't push the paper through and buy a new printer. And they said I needed to turn in the serial number. And that was the most difficult. First I had to find the serial number. And then even more difficult, I had to see the serial number. And I tried everything. I took the glasses off. I put the glasses on. I pulled the printer closer. I pushed the printer farther away. I got down on my... I looked at the printer. I knew the serial number was there, but I couldn't see the serial number. It was impossible for me to see. But what did I do? I guess no warranty. So I went and got my big mag light. Any of you guys have a mag light? I have 3 mag lights. It's a guy thing. None of the women know what I'm talking about. I had the big one. You know, it looks like a yardstick. There's so many D batteries in that. It's unbelievable. And I got this great light, and I went to that thing, and I shone the light on it, and I could read the serial number with the light. Amazing. This is revelation. Not that I could read my serial number. But when He shines His light, we see things we couldn't see before. We see Him as He is. We see Him in a new light. We see Him in His fullness. We see Him in His glory. This is what He meant to Peter when He said, "You are blessed." This is revelation. It comes not from man, but my Father who is in heaven. Praise the Lord. This is the essential revelation. This is the revelation to the church. This is the revelation the church needs. Here He was dealing with His own. And this is the burden. The second thing I think we see in this story is not only do we see the person of the Lord Jesus clearer through revelation, but we see the purpose of God as well. It's interesting to me, the Lord Jesus said, "I will build my church." Brothers and sisters, that's good news. Think for a moment. Bear with me a moment. I know you have to, so you're out of luck. But think for a moment if He has said, "Okay, Peter, you build the church. It's okay, I'm on the throne. You build the church." He didn't say that. He didn't commit the building of His church to anybody but Himself. What a glorious encouragement that is. He said to them, "Peter, there's another thing I need to say to you. I will build my own church." Isn't that good news? If you've ever been in a place of responsibility, if you've ever felt burdened about the church of the living God, how the Lord needs to give us this one single revelation that "I will build my own church." It will liberate you. It will liberate you. I'm telling you, there's times I prayed that I've said, "Lord, the government is upon Your shoulders." Thank God He didn't say to Peter, "Peter, you build my church." He entrusted to no man. He will build His church. This is God's purpose. This is what we need to see. Above everything else, He is the builder. You remember the story in Hebrews about Abraham? Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. To a city, to look for a city. And do any of you know the rest of that verse? Whose builder and maker is God. Isn't that good news? This is God's encouragement to His people. He's the builder. He's the one that builds His church. I know when we look at church history, we wonder. But this is the encouragement. This is the essential revelation. I will build my church. That's good news. I don't know how to tell you or how to communicate to you how much that encourages me. But that is God's encouragement to His people. I have spent my life in the building industry, 32 years in the building industry. And there's one thing, I haven't learned a lot, but I've learned a few things. And in the building industry, there is one thing we've learned. I could speak for some others here who've learned the same thing. The most important thing in the building industry is who the builder is. You can have the best plan. You can have the best ideas. It's all paper. You know, we designers, we think too much of ourselves. We get humbled. We go out to the site, and all the contractors are real quick to remind us you can do a lot on paper. What's important is who the builder is. That's the key. Praise the Lord, the plumb is in His hand. That was the revelation from Zechariah. I saw him and the plumb bob was in his hand. Good news. What an encouragement. Praise the Lord. That's the message to His church. He is the builder. No one else. He is the builder. I praise God that He left it to no man. But even with this, there's great confusion about this passage. You know our Catholic friends, I hope I don't offend any of you Catholics this morning, but you know our Catholic friends say this is Peter. He says, I will build my church upon this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's amazing to me that they take this stand when Peter himself, when you read his epistle in 1 Peter, didn't take that stand. He said, we're but living stones, built upon the great cornerstone in 1 Peter chapter 2, a habitation for God, a priesthood of believers. We, living stones, built together. Peter, he said to Peter, you're not the rock, Peter. That's good news. He'd be shifting sand. The rock is the revelation of who He is. But upon that rock, I will take these living stones. You and me, we're living stones. And He will build His own church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's good news. That's encouraging. We think we're the builder. We're the material. He's the builder. Do you get the point? That's the revelation. I will build my church. That's the revelation to the church. May the Lord help us to see that. There's another thing I think we see in this section. We not only see that He's the builder, but we see He's the protector of His church. He's the defender of His church. How often we may have thought that we have to defend the Lord. We have to come to His defense. What a foolish idea. Can you? I have to come to the Lord's defense? He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's His word to His church. That's His encouragement to His people. That's His revelation to His people. His purpose is He will build His church. And upon that is His divine protection. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, He didn't say a demon shall not prevail. It's always interesting to me. He uses this term. The Lord Jesus uses this term. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's a powerful term. That means all the authority. All the authority of hell will not prevail against this thing. All the demonic power. All the principalities and powers. All the world rulers of darkness, the Bible talks about. They shall not prevail. This is God's encouragement. Thank God He is the defender. This ought to be good news to us. It's the Lord Himself that defends His church. We haven't sung this hymn, I think, too much lately, but I don't know how many of you know Samuel Stone's hymn, "The Church's One Foundation." I think probably most of you know it. It reads, "The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord." That's the I Am. She is His new creation. He will build it by water and by word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. And with His own blood He bought her. And for her life He died. Now it's interesting. When Stone wrote this thing in the 1800s, the Church of England was terribly split. They really didn't see who the I Am is. There were men in charge of the church at that time who were men of the flesh. The church was divided, and somehow, in the middle of that darkness, God gave him living revelation to see the real nature of the church. I believe that's what the Lord needs to do to us. There were actually 7 stanzas. Most of us, I don't know, Keen, you may know, most of the time we only have 4. Today. There were actually 7 stanzas. And what I discovered yesterday is one of the most beautiful stanzas was one that was left out. It reads like this. "The church shall never perish." Think of that. "Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her even to the end." What good news. Though there be those that hate her and false sons in her pale, against the foe or traitor, she ever will prevail." That's good news. Our blessed Lord declares, "And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." What encouragement that is. That's what we need to see. Are you one that's given to despair? Then you need living revelation. It'll lift you to that heavenly place, and it'll make a difference. I believe this is the Lord's word to His church. I am, and I will. There's another thing you'll notice here when you look at this. Not only does this revelation end with these two things? He goes on to say, if you look in verse 19 with me, he says, "And I will give to thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatsoever thou mayest bind upon the earth shall be bound in the heavens. And whatsoever thou mayest loose on the earth shall be loosed on the heavens." Brothers and sisters, this is the revelation of the Lord to His church. "I will give you everything you need, every provision you need to go through triumphantly. I will give you the keys. I will give you the keys." I don't know what you think about keys. Maybe keys are important to you, but lose your keys. You'll see how important they are to you. You can have the biggest mansion in the world. No keys. No entrance. You might have a Lamborghini. I don't think anybody here has a Lamborghini. But if you don't have the keys to that Lamborghini, you'll never drive that Lamborghini. Even my old 1988 Isuzu pickup that people laugh at me in, I have the keys to it. Do you have the keys? The Lord says, I will give you the keys. That's His encouragement to His people. And I think when you turn to Matthew 18, you discover this same phrase. And then the explanation, he says in verse 18, when the church is spoken about the second time, whatsoever you shall bind on the earth shall be bound in the heavens, and whatsoever you shall loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens. And listen to this. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth concerning any matter, whatsoever it may be that they shall ask, it shall come to them from my Father who is in the heavens. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Brothers and sisters, I think these keys particularly pertain to prayer. Are we, as the church of the living God, a praying church? Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in the heavens. Whatsoever you will loose on the earth shall be loosed in the heavens. I say to you, where two of you shall agree on earth, as touching any matter, it shall be done of my Father who is in heaven. The keys really have to do with prayer. I think it's amazing how little we value the church and how little we value prayer in the corporate sense. There was once a fellow who thought so little of the church, he said, thinking he was bright, he said, I've only been to church twice in my life. That was his boast. Once to be sprinkled with water. Once to be sprinkled with rice. Now, I know, you young people, you all know what that means. You can't do rice anymore at a wedding, right? That's not good for birds. We're worried about birds. God takes care of the birds. He thought so little of the church. Only been twice. Sprinkled with water. Sprinkled with rice. And a dear saint of God that knew more, that saw more, that valued the church, that loved the place of his habitation, said, oh no, for the third time, you'll be sprinkled with dirt. Do we value the church? Is the church important to us? The Lord Jesus gave his life for the church. How we need to value it. When it comes to prayer, how we need to take up this great commission, it seems to me the Lord calls His church to pray. I know one brother who has told us over and over, you can tell a lot about the health of the church. You would think maybe it would be gospel outreach and how important that is, or preaching. You would think maybe that was what it was. But this brother once told me, I'll never forget it. He said, you can tell by the health of the corporate prayer meeting how we need to pray. My house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. This is the Lord's heart. May the Lord help us. Brothers and sisters, God's revelation to His people is I am. God's revelation to His people is I will. And His desire and His purpose is to join head and body together in such union, in such communion, that they will manifest His glory. The church is not for itself. I don't know the best way to explain it. The church is not for itself. It's for Him. The only illustration I can think of is the moon and the sun. If the moon were by itself, it would be a lifeless orb. It would be a wasteland. But the moon radiates the glory of the sun. It's the sun that makes the moon alive. It's not the moon. The sun shines in all of its glory and all of its brightness and reflects off the moon. And you see the radiance, not of the glory of the moon. People say, look at the moon, the radiance of the moon. You're not seeing the radiance of the moon. You're seeing the radiance of the sun. That's the difference. I am that I am. Oh, the Lord wants to join us together in such oneness, that we are truly a people who love Him and love His purpose. This is the essential revelation. I think you see this throughout the Word of God. I was reading the Gospel of John. I think many of you know in John's Gospel, this same theme runs throughout the book in John's Gospel. Over and over, seven times, and actually more than seven times, but seven times most people cite, it says, I am this. He says, first of all, in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. I am everything you need for life. He says it not once, not twice in that chapter, but three times. I am the bread of life. And then he says an amazing thing, three times. And I will raise him up in the last day. Brothers and sisters, this is good news. The Lord is to us everything. He is everything. Complete provision all the way through. The bread of life, I am. And in the end, I will raise him up in the last day. That's the encouragement to God's people. You see it. We don't have time. We could spend the whole morning on John's Gospel. But it says in 8 verse 12, I am the light of the world. The only light we need comes from the Lord Jesus. Brother, I like your narrow viewpoint. I think it's right. The only light you need is from the Lord Jesus. I am the light of the world. He lightens our way. We don't walk in darkness. He who has the Son has the life. He goes on to say in John 10 verse 7, I am the door to the sheep. Do you know there's only one door? That's an odd thing. We're not able to build a building with only one door. I'll tell you that. It's against the law. But here the Lord Jesus says there's only one door. You can go in that door. You can come out that door. And you can bear fruit. I am that door. He says in chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord that we have a shepherd to lead us through life. Can you just imagine for a moment if you were left on your own and said, go for it? That's not the Christian life. We have a shepherd. That shepherd cares for us. That shepherd goes after us when we go astray. That shepherd rescues us and brings us back to the fold. Not to be solitary, but to be with one another. This is the good news. It says in John chapter 11, all of you know this, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the resurrection. Our brother spoke about resurrection. He is the resurrection. He who has died shall yet live. And He is the life. All the way. It says in John 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It says in John 15 verse 5, finally, I am the true vine. We have a place where we can abide. We have a place where we're connected to the life source. We have all that we need because we've been put in the vine. This is God's essential revelation. Now turn with me to Revelation 21. Let's spend a few moments there. This is God's word to His church. This is God's revelation to His church. But brothers and sisters, I think it's important to see God's revelation at the end. What does He have to say? When you read those first seven verses and you come down to verse 6, He says this, "It is done." That's good news. It is done. The work is complete. All that I want to accomplish has been accomplished. It is done, it says in verse 6. It says in verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea exists no more." This is the end of the age. Now, I happen to believe that's not far away, saints. I know when I was with Stu yesterday, he said that to me over and over. It's not far. We're near the end of the age. And God has one word for us. Look at verse 6. He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Note that word. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus in the beginning, we looked at the beginning with the church. He is our beginning. The good news is He is our end. The Lord never starts something He won't finish. I have a terrible habit. I don't know, some of you might be as little disciplined as I am. I start a lot of things I don't finish. I have a pile of them. You're welcome to ask my wife. But the Lord Jesus is not like me, thank God. He never starts something He will not finish. His living revelation to His people is, "I am the beginning and I am the end." You have a beginning, but you can be encouraged by this. You have an end. The end of all things is at hand. Isn't that good news? Brothers and sisters, I don't know. That's why I titled this message, God's Encouragement to His People, the Two Essential Revelations. To me, this is incredibly encouraging. I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am your beginning. I am your end. And look how glorious the end is. He doesn't stop there. He says in verse 6, "And I will give to him that thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be to him God." Did you notice that same thing? "I will give to him of the water of the fountain of life, of the water of life freely. I will be to him God." That's the revelation. That's the essential revelation. In the first six verses, you'll notice the repetition of the word "shall" six times. I don't know, is it just me, or do people not pay attention to these things? These are all underlined in my Bible. The word "shall," what the Lord shall do, six times in those first six verses. Isn't that marvelous? That's wonderful news. I remember when I was young and starting in the building industry, one of the things we have to do, you can ask Andrew, Andrew's actually shared about this, is we have to write what's called specifications. It's a horrible job. Anything but have me write specs. That's why I hired a spec writer. Specs are the most, Jerry knows I'm talking about. The language is so tedious, the things are so long, and I wonder if anybody reads them. but they're essential to a project. And one thing an old wise spec writer told me one time is he said, don't ever put will in your specs. Put shall. Because shall leaves no wiggle room. You shall do it. It's an absolute. The Lord Jesus, now unless I take away from everything I've said, say something. The Lord Jesus, His word is I will. Because He never fails like we do. But just to top it off, grace upon grace, as our brother spoke about 6 times. When the Lord closed the age, He said to them, and He shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, their God, and He shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall not exist anymore, nor grief, nor cry, nor distress shall exist anymore, for the former things have passed away. That's God's revelation. In the beginning and in the end. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament. I am and I will. Lord, we come to You and ask You, Lord, to take what human beings can't communicate. We see it with Peter. You said, blessed are you, Peter. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Lord, ever grant us this revelation. Lord, we pray that You would shine Your light into our hearts as the people of God. As Your church, that You would open our eyes and we would behold You in a different way. That our eyes would be opened and we would say, I have seen Him, the I Am. Give us that revelation. That we can stand and declare like Peter, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Lord, grant us to see what You will do. Oh Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for the many times I've been wrapped around the axle. Thinking, what will I do? Or would You grant me this living revelation to see I will? Oh, I believe it'll transform us. Have mercy, Lord. We pray You would give us these 2 essential revelations. And as Your people, we would be transformed. And be that living testimony of who God is and what He does. In Jesus' precious name, amen.